And hello and welcome to another edition of Voltage Paranormal Radio. This is Madman 12. We have our guest, our co-host as always, Lex Hotep. How you doing, Lex Hotep?
We're doing fine. We also have our distinguished panelman Joe with us today.
Awesome. Great to have him. Missy Metal is out today. We've got a bit of a medical thing going on, so but we'll go ahead and go through on through with the show.
I'm sorry.
And we're going to be talking today, I think, about ancient Egypt. Its mythology, the pyramids, why we think they're there. And with that being said, I'm a little distracted, so I'm going to let Lex Hotep take over, if you don't
okay.
mind.
Well, for one thing, okay, let's start way back in the beginning. The very first king of Egypt was known as the Scorpion King. And Joe seems to probably know about this a little bit, too.
A little about that. I didn't go into it before.
But one thing about it, they all say that their gods came down from the sky. And if you look at the pharaonic lineage, the very first few pharaohs, it says they ruled for at least 100,000 years apiece, which makes no sense to us today.
No.
Which, I mean, they were obviously very long-lived, and just to make a long story short, I think they were the Anunnaki, of which Zechariah Sitchin talks about in his chronicles. And if you haven't read any Zechariah Sitchin, I strongly urge you to do so. It is very informative, and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
They say Osiris, the king of the dead, was from Orion. And as we know, Orion has several suns in it, and there are supposedly some gray aliens that come from there, too, as well. And if you always notice on the pictures of the tombs, because the tombs usually have no writing at all, like the pyramids have no writing, the temples do have hieroglyphics, and they say all this, that their gods came down from the sky in golden chariots and ships and things like that. But if you notice, his skin is always portrayed as like a green or bluish color.
Yeah, it's almost a grayish color as well.
Yes.
And an elongated skull.
Yes.
Kind of an elongated body as well. It appears to have a kind of a pot belly. Sort of appears to be, just not quite human. You know what I mean?
And not quite like a gray, a mix, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Like a mixture. Now, my feeling on these grays are they're like ants. They may be biological robots, actually. Because there's... I've heard a lot of stories of the actual people in charge or look like us, more so than they do, and they're a lot bigger. You know, they're almost what we'd call giants, you know, in the 10-foot tall
range.
Yeah,
exactly. The ancient mythological, they're pharaohs. I mean, they're not mythological. They were real. And they were so much bigger than regular people.
Yeah.
And they were giants with the elongated skulls, like Akhenaten.
Yeah.
Tut. Even Tutankhamun, you know, is one of these things. And my belief, and I'm going to go back to ancient Sumeria, where Zechariah Sitchin was able to, read these writings, read these scrolls, or not scrolls, but these objects, where it talks about the history of humanity. And what I think these fuckers are Nephilim. Anunnaki, in Hopi Indian, means ant people.
Yes.
Now, how could the Hopi Indian have the same goddamn term, Anunnaki, that the ancient Sumerians had?
In a whole other continent.
Yeah, on a whole other continent.
And they also had
and a different time period, too.
But they have pictographs of the actual alien with the antenna sticking out, and they have the ship that floated in on from the...
So you got to remember the Nephilim aren't just half fallen angel and half human. They're also half fallen angel and half whatever else. Enoch talks about it. They didn't just inject their DNA into humanity. They injected their DNA into every living thing on the face of the earth and created something different with bilateral symmetry.
Yes.
You see what I mean? And in mythology, we have an example of all of these creatures. You've got the Minotaur, right? You've got, just the list goes on and on and on, of these half-alien, half-human, like the giants would probably, you know, it seems like when they messed with women, they would be giants. These giants ruled the earth. In the case of Egypt and their first pharaohs. You see, I believe that when the flood happened and destroyed every living thing, it didn't actually destroy every living thing, because some of these Nephilim had awesome technology. I mean, they were roaming space, man. They were traveling to the moon and building bases in Mars and building bases. I believe that. I absolutely believe that. That's how in the hell have you seen the stuff on Mars, the pyramids, and they are aligned in the same way, facing Orion's belt.
Yes, and there's even a face supposed to be, and I think a sphinx up there too.
Yeah, so there is a sphinx as well. So before God, whatever that is, and I have no idea what it is, but he's the creator of everything. And when he found out what the Watchers had done, he destroyed everything in order to save mankind. Noah wasn't a perfect human, okay? But it does say that he was perfect in his generations, meaning he was human, the only human, perhaps, left.
And Noah was the great-grandson of Methuselah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was. Methuselah was still alive right before the flood. So is Adam. Apparently Adam had only died about 25, 30 years before the flood.
Right.
So I guess God had made sure that these great men, the real men, the humans, that had passed away, and then Noah was allowed. This is what the Jews think, that they're the chosen people. You know, well, the only reason that they are the chosen ones is because they were the first humans saved. He saved humanity. He didn't destroy it. He destroyed an abomination. But let's go on with what you're talking. See, all this fits in together. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Then after the flood, it took some time for civilization to rebuild itself. And apparently it was in ancient Sumeria, Mesopotamia, where civilization started to rebuild after, I don't know, 6,000 years or 1,000 years or something.
Which is where they placed the Garden of Eden, by the way, in the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. And you see what happens is these Nephilim that survived the flood, and I believe because of technology, they had spaceships and were able to get out of here. And see, Enoch tipped them off. See, because the Nephilim, the giants, the Nephilim, the abominations, went before Enoch and asked him if he would go before God and plead their case. You know, please, you know, allow us to live. I know there's some of us are really bad, but some of us are good too. And so he did. Enoch went before God and pled their case for him, and God denied them. And he told it, and he actually told Enoch, I'm going to destroy them and destroy everything in a flood. So Enoch goes back and tells them this. And so some of them had access to their ships, their vimanas, their, you know, golden chariots, their wheels within wheels, you know what I mean?
Have you heard of the stories of, you know, where they actually found, like, a vimana below the Great Pyramid?
I've heard that. I heard that. I've also heard they had found the body, and it was not mummified, but they found the body of the great king of Babylon, Nimrod, and he's a giant.
Wow. Never heard that.
And he's not mummified.
Yeah.
His body's in perfect condition. As if
what
he's
is he in,
waiting.
Like, stasis mode, or?
Huh?
Wow.
Is he in, like, a stasis mode, like asleep, or what?
Suspended animation.
Yeah,
yes.
Suspended animation.
Yeah, it's like suspended animation, and something is going to trigger him, and he will be awakened, and he will rule the earth once again.
I'm gonna have to look at it.
This is what Saddam Hussein was wanting to recreate in ancient Babylon there, with, you know, rebuilding Babylon and bringing back these entities.
Well, I'm talking about the Great Pyramid of Cheops.
Yeah.
This is where they found his body. It's supposedly underground, under there, about 50 foot under there.
Really? Wow.
Or maybe 150 foot under there in a cavern that had been built. The great, and we all know who Nimrod was. He's the one who built the Tower of Babylon.
Tower of Babylon.
Well, it wasn't a tower. I believe it was a stargate. And his intention was to rally his Nephilim brothers and sisters, go through the Stargate and destroy God. Wanted to go to war with God.
Which
right
God
now,
meaning which God? You know, what was he meaning? Jehovah?
The Creator God.
Oh,
the one Creator God.
What would want to possess him to destroy the Creator? That's crazy.
Wanted to go, well, I don't, you know, probably Lucifer.
Greed, power.
Lucifer himself.
Yeah.
You know. He's the Nephilim are the sons of this Lucifer character.
One thing about Lucifer
and
his
other fallen angels. I hate using that term Lucifer, actually. But it's the only term we have. We really don't know his name. The reptile is a better way to go about it, or the shining one. Because Lucifer is mentioned only once in the Bible, in Isaiah, I believe. Just
and
one little verse
this.
There.
You know, Lucifer, the illuminated one, the shining one.
Right.
But yet he has also the epitaph, the Prince of Darkness. But think about it. If you're the shining one, the illuminated one, the, you know, one that is the bright one, the morning star. You know, what happens when you get too close to bright light? You can't see. You know, it might burn you. You know, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, you see what I'm saying?
Yep. Well, back to my point, we talk. You know, the Zechariah's tells the story of the Anunnaki coming and the telling the people that, hey, we are your gods. We created you. We tinkered with monkeys, and we were able to create you as a slave race in order to mine our gold. And we know the story behind
the Egyptians get all their gold?
Again, these pyramids, I believe, are much older than what science says. I think they are pre-flood. They have water marks on them. You know that?
Right.
Yes.
I think they're much, much older. I think they are pre-flood technology. Because we've had scientists actually tell us that there is it is an unusually high amount of energy radiating from these pyramidal objects all over the world, like electromagnetic energy.
Right.
Now, was it a way to power the homes? You know, kind of like Tesla. You know, his idea was his alternate current. He was just going to broadcast it through the air,
yes.
And you were to have an antenna type thing that would pick it up and it would power.
Yes,
your
everything.
Home for free.
Vehicles and everything, lights. Everything.
Just all everything.
Yeah.
And what happened to Nikola Tesla? He was murdered. And the FBI went in, took all of his work, and no one knows where it's at now.
We've talked about that on previous shows, and I've had guests on that before, Eric Orion being one of them. And they talked about how the Bush family was connected with that. You'll have to go back and listen to our show, but it's very interesting. And supposedly the Bush family fortune comes from, Tesla's work. To make it short.
And I believe, you know, it's the Bushes that are involved in the discovery of the Viamanis and also the body of Nimrod.
Yes. And, I mean,
it was Bush Jr. and his war in Iraq.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. When those planes, when I was in college when those planes hit those things, the towers, when the first one hit, and I said, uh-oh, here we go into Iraq.
Yeah. I believe
it was a false flag event.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they knew about it. I believe they knew it was going to happen and allowed it to happen. So they would have a reason to go into Iraq, go into the ancient world of Mesopotamia.
And that is exactly where they said they found the Vermana in a cave over there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually Afghanistan, and they think they found the Vimana of Zoroaster.
Zoroaster.
Yeah.
What about the Vimana? Zoroaster is an interesting character. He was the prophet Zoroaster was the prophet, the one who save the people, and I think it's in Turkey where we find this underground cavern that would have held 100,000 people, rooms and everything. He took them underground because apparently Zahura Mazda, which is their god, was at war with one of the other quote gods.
Like maybe Jehovah.
Well, I doubt that. I think Jehovah, I think the Hebrew Jehovah and Yahweh, I think that's the creator God. I think we're looking at stories that tell the same story as the Hebrew Bible. And the Hebrew Bible, listen, these guys, the Hebrews are nothing but Egyptians. They were migrant workers for 400 years. They lived in Egypt.
Yeah.
You know, when a Christian says amen, what is that? That's a moon.
Yeah. And there we go back to ancient Egypt, the god Amun.
The god Amun.
Right.
You
One
see
thing
what I'm saying?
Yes. But I wanted to ask a question here because one thing that always really fascinated me and I never could figure it out is when they were in the desert for 40 years or whatever it was, they said that they were fed, what was it called?
Manna from heaven.
Yes, manna. What is that? I mean,
it's, no one really knows. It's just some sort of, I believe, synthetic nutrient.
Yeah, they said it would fall from the sky.
Yeah, fall from the sky. And also, it was a pillar of smoke during the day and a pillar of fire at night that they followed.
Yes.
It was a freaking UFO, brother.
Yeah, I mean, and that is weird, but, I mean, but, you know, that being fed for 40 years on this, whatever it is just extremely weird.
Yeah, I believe it was just some sort of synthetic nutrient.
Yeah.
And once again, who drove out the Israelites? Ramses II.
Yeah.
Ramses II.
And who did he deal with? Moses, who was in line for the throne to be a pharaoh. He was a prince. And
yeah,
he was a prince,
but he wasn't Egyptian. He was Hebrew.
Right.
Which
right.
They're Egyptians, dude. Hey, look. Once you live, for instance, let's take the Spanish Latin Society in Mexico, and they cross the border, and let's say they live here 100 years. They're no longer Mexican, are they?
No,
they're American.
No.
Well, that's these Hebrews are freaking Egyptians. They were lower class Egyptians. They were the working class.
Right.
But nonetheless, they were Egyptians, not
Hebrew.
Well,
Moses was also an initiate into the mystery schools of ancient Egypt, which meant he had lots of ancient mystic knowledge. Prepared him to build the Ark of the Covenant, to perform the magical things that he did.
But they really weren't magic. It was technology.
Right.
Right.
That was passed down. Passed down from the, like Alex calls them, the Anunnaki. Well, every civilization refers to them as the Anunnaki.
Yes, and you know that.
And all they are the Nephilim, who was able to escape the flood via Manus. And they waited around, probably on the bases on the moon that we had helped build and they built. That what was left of humanity probably helped them build. And they went up there and hung out. So all that was over. And then they would return and claim to be our creator gods. And in doing so, that takes away the divinity of creation. You
right.
See what I mean? It makes us believe that we're not divine. We're actually a slave race. And that goes against the creator God, who I do call Yahweh. I do call him Jehovah.
Well, the pyramid itself, another thing that I had read that when they first got in there, they could see that no one else had been in the king's chamber, and it was covered with like a substance, like a salt solution, dried all over the place, on the walls, everywhere.
Yep. Well, see,
I don't know what that was.
It's a conductor.
Right. I was thinking like the Baghdad battery.
It's a conductor, kind of like the Baghdad battery, but on a much larger scale.
Yes.
And I believe they were able to broadcast. See, I think they would store this energy within these pyramids that was being created, because underneath you look at the pyramids in Chichen Itza and Peru and Bolivia.
Yeah.
And they're all built right on top of these pools of water. Of what?
Yeah.
What do you call them, Alex?
That's
Cenote. Yes, cenotes. Yeah, and there are large chambers underneath the Egyptian pyramids too that Well, there's nothing in them now, but they believe that they once held water. Now, water is a great conductor.
And also, you know, there is no hieroglyphics anywhere in that tomb. If it was supposed to have been a tomb, it would have had something.
Yeah, you know, they've never found a king inside of one, or a pharaoh.
Yeah.
All the pharaohs and kings or whatever, and their type, their kin, are buried in the Valley of the Kings.
Right.
We got 60 seconds, guys, and then we're going to flip over to our other VPI station. And you want to continue this conversation over there? Because I love this conversation. Because I believe that they were storage. They held electricity, created it, and they were able to broadcast it through the and freely power their homes.
Yeah, I believe it.
You know, through and probably, you know, through these obelisks too, because these obelisks are made out of a type of stone that's highly electrically conductive.
Right.
That red granite, whatever it's called. Red granite stuff. So,
yes, this is Lexotep chiming in. As you said, we only have a few seconds left. Please follow us over to the Voltage Paranormal Investigations radio show here on Blog Talk Radio here at 5:30, and it is 5:30. So I am Lexotep, and I am out.
I am Madman 12, and I am out.